Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the number one podcast for cute little monkeys that shake your hand for $1. I am your host, Parker, joined as always by my man, Cumulus.
Wow, a whole dollar? What a bargain.
I know. I spent $1 and I got
all my dreams. I want to hear much more about this. But first, I really want to introduce our very special guest for this episode, Jackson. And I didn't clarify this earlier, but do you just prefer Jackson or...
Jack or Jackson's cool, but yes, Jackson Stewart is the full name my parents gifted me with.
Beautiful. Wonderful stuff. Welcome aboard. Thanks for coming.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Should I plug my movie? Is that my...
Yes.
Is it a good time for that?
It's the best time for that.
I directed a movie called Beyond the Gates, which will be out from IFC Films at the end of the year, and Parker Bowman and the other chaps at Junk Food Dinner recorded a commentary on it, which I've listened to and can verify is quite good. So yeah, it's currently touring at a bunch of festivals, so scope it out if you're living in Spain or some other random European country.
Yeah, check this movie out. Definitely buy that Blu-ray. Buy it because you like good movies and this is a cool movie, but then also buy it because that's the only way you're going to listen to this secret Junk Food Dinner episode where we do a commentary.
Yeah. You got to, if you're a completionist, you have to pick it up. That's the only way.
So what are you guys up to? It's been a crazy week. A lot of things have happened. Have your weeks been crazy?
Mine hasn't been, wait, yeah, fuck, it has. Ah, damn it.
I don't want
to go first. Jackson, what about you? How's your week been?
I've had an unbelievably insane week. It turns out that when you make a movie, there's a bunch of really not fun business stuff you have to do at the end of that. Putting your movie on a bunch of hard drives and then doing like a blow-by-blow thing for a blow-by-blow document of literally everything that happens in the movie, time-coded, and a bunch of other not fun stuff. So I did a bunch of that, and it was very stressful, but it all got done, and I'm pretty happy about that. And then today I went and visited Monster Palooza, where they had a Reanimator reunion where Bruce Abbott, Jeffrey Combs, and Barbara Crampton were all there. Got to chat with Mr. Bruce Abbott for a while, which was pretty sweet. And hung out with Barbara, met a bunch of cool horror fans, and I just, you know, overall had a pretty cool time there. There was lots of fun monster makeups and sculptures and all sorts of other wild business.
Nice. Did you see any of the makeup people from Face Off there?
I think so. They each have like their own business names now, and I always forget like who they were on Face Off because, to be honest, I never watched that show. But I know there's a lot of the people in there that had been on Face Off, so that's pretty neat. And they had like some of the people from the original Night of the Living Dead were signing there, and Caroline Williams from Texas Chainsaw Massacre Part 2.
Oh, I love her.
Wait, here was the really crazy thing. Like, two people came up to me and asked me for an autograph, and I was like, well, you haven't even seen my movie, and it was pretty weird, and I felt... really uncomfortable about it.
So they hadn't seen the movie. They just knew you from being on Junk Food Dinner, and they were like very excited.
Pretty much, yeah. They were like, wait, weren't you that guy on the 70s episode of Junk Food Dinner recently? And I said yes, and then they made me sign a photo of Parker Bowman. So it was pretty wild.
Which you signed with the name Sean Byron.
I actually wrote Mark Fredo, but, you know.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
When you sign in power.
Yeah, when you sign Mark Fredo's name, you have to do it in disappearing ink because he disappeared from this plane of existence.
He sure did. He's off to a new realm.
He's dead. It's very sad.
Oh,
That sounds like a ton of fun. Where does Monsterpalooza take place?
It's at the Burbank Marriott. So it's right next to the airport. Parking is, turns out, pretty expensive there. So yeah. I found out about an hour ago when I was leaving. It costs like $25 to park there for about 5 hours. So that was not so cool.
That's the scariest part of the entire thing.
Yeah. But you really have no idea when you go in. You're just like, okay, I'm going to take this ticket and then park. And you just assume, you're like, whatever, I'll probably be $10 or something. And you leave and you're like, oh, wait, they can get anything they want out of me. So that's the deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Parking is a real pain in the arse.
It's how they get you.
Places. It's how they get you.
How about you, Mr. Frisbee? How did they get you this week?
I had a weird parking mishap. I was parked somewhere for only a few minutes and was charged $1.50 for it. That was horrible.
$1.50?
$1.50.
Oh, I thought you said about 50. I was like, fuck, that's intense.
Hey, you think LA is rough? Wait till you get to Little Rock. Jesus.
Yeah.
Everything's overpriced. No, it was just a very busy week. And yeah, I was just exhausted over being overworked.
What kind of car were you driving at the time? Were you driving your car that has like the motor in the back?
Oh, you mean like that? What was it? The rear?
Rear engine frisbee.
Yep, rear engine frisbee.
Yep. So you got that nickname from that car you got.
Yeah. Yeah. I put the engine in the back. That's how I got the moniker.
Yep.
Yep. got nothing to add to that. Soundbite.
But, sorry to hear that. Well, I've got something to add.
Yeah.
All my dreams came true this week, you guys.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Everything I've ever wanted in life, it all came to a head the other day. I went out to the county fair because I had to be there for my job. But after I was done, I went to go get a milkshake, maybe like a large pretzel, some sort of chili dog that I had the audacity to not even upload a picture of to Facebook, and didn't put it in podcast town. But while I was walking around, I saw a little booth that had little cartoon monkeys on it. And it said, monkey shakes hand for only $1. And I said, fuck. This is all I've ever wanted. Like, I've always wanted to meet a monkey. I've never met a monkey. And I love them so much. Like, all the time, I just, like, sit awake at night, like, thinking about monkeys.
And when you're not watching Lancelot Link videos on YouTube.
You're watching those. I just watch Go West over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like that they're like little people with little hands and they wear little jackets. They smoke sometimes. Like, I think that's great. So I paid this dude $1 and I got to shake the hand of a little monkey and he jumped on my shoulder. He smiled at me. And I think that it was really like the best day of my life because of this. So I just want everybody out there to just believe in your dreams. You guys believe hard enough and it'll come true.
Parker, I'm pretty shocked you were not going. Your dreams coming true was not tied into that Corey Feldman performance on the Today Show.
Well,
yeah, you've had a big week, man.
Yeah, I told all these motherfuckers in January that this is going to be the year of Feldman. I've been saying it this whole year. Nobody believed me. They said Feldman's washed up. No one cares about Feldman. Well, he's front page fucking news now. So it's the year of Feldman, and I was right. And I want people to acknowledge this.
I mean, I'm so curious how he landed on the Today Show, because it's like there's a big chain of command that has to go up in order to be on something like that. And I don't know if not to speak ill of the great Corey Feldman, but you know, that tune is not the hottest track of 2016. He did have some pretty hot dance moves up there, which
let me jump in right now.
The
dance moves, because the last time I saw Corey Feldman dancing on a stage was that clip from 26 years ago for that Howard Stern program. And those are the exact same moves, man. I mean, he's got like some more robot stuff going on, but he's still doing like the weird wacky feet dance moves. I don't know what it's called. Is there a name for that?
He said him and Michael Jackson grew up dancing together, which I was like, Michael Jackson was like in his 20s when you met him.
But like, he was the man who never grew up, I guess.
Yeah.
Right? Wasn't it Neverland Ranch?
Yeah. I mean, he fancied himself a Peter Pan, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Dude, if you haven't read Corey Feldman's book, though, you have to. It is insane.
Yeah, I own it, but I haven't read it yet because I'm like not very good at reading these days because I have so many video games and movies to watch. But yeah, I'm definitely going to read it now. Like, it's, you know, like my optimistic answer to as why he got on the Today Show is that like his song is legitimately on like some charts, I guess. I guess it's selling well amongst his fans. So that's my optimistic reason as to why they would have him on the show. But my cynical, perhaps more realistic reason is that, like, I feel like the Today Show people knew it would be a complete shit show that would go viral. Because Corey Feldman, like, showed up looking like a level 17 ranger from D&D.
Yeah. He had those level 17 ranger moves, too. I think I saw him use long stride.
Yeah. And, yeah, it was really bizarre. I don't know, like, it was really weird. Like, everybody on my Facebook timeline is, like, going nuts talking about, like, oh, I can't believe Corey Feldman is this weird. But it's, like, he's always been this weird. Like, sure. I mean, maybe if you only remember him from Goonies or something, this is shocking to you. But, like, he did, like, a run of 7 movies where he just played Michael Jackson. Like, and, like, he's been in bands for 20 years that are all like this. Like, he went on Howard Stern in the 90s, and Howard Stern, like, talked to him for an hour about how he should quit music and how he's embarrassing himself. So, like, I don't know. Like, it, I guess maybe not everybody watches Howard Stern, but, like, this is what Corey Feldman's been up to for, like, 30 years. Like, it's weird to me that people are, like, shocked about it now.
Well, I mean, he was still, wasn't he, like, semi-normal when they did Bordello of Blood? Because, like, I thought he was kind of pulling it back together when they did that. Like, that was, like, I think he'd, like, first gotten off drugs around then, and he was, like, trying to, like, be a real actor still.
Mm-hmm.
But, because, I mean, it was after, I mean, that South Beach Academy, right? Wasn't that, or I don't know. I know those were, like, around the same time, but I feel like he's really good in Bordello of Blood. He's, like, pretty funny and all that stuff, but I don't know. I don't know the point I was making. It seems like there was a brief period of time where he did not seem completely insane.
Yeah, there is that. Like, I don't know if you guys watched that 2 Corys show. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, that show was good. And, like, I mean, who knows how real or whatever that show was, this reality TV show. But, like, on that show, it was about Corey Feldman and Corey Haim, like, hanging out and, like, being adults and stuff. And Corey Feldman was, like, the real put-together guy. And, like, Corey Haim was, like, the whacked-out junkie who, like, had troubles in life. And so, like, yeah, like, Corey Feldman, depending on how real that show was like a very normal man at that time. But then, like, Corey Haim died, and then Corey Feldman got divorced from his, like, wife he was with for, like, 20 years. And then I think that's when he was just like, fuck it, I'm going to be crazy. Like, it's like, seems like since then he's been pretty weirdly unself-aware and pretty intense.
Yeah, because that was, I remember, like, on the 2 Corys, he seemed like he was still, like, a person, you know, instead of this, like, weird sort of caricature that they write about in Vice magazine and all these other places where you're just like, dude, how are you? I mean, it's sort of sad because I just feel like he probably doesn't have any real friends in his life. Just be like, dude, you can't, like, you got to cut your hair. You have to stop dressing like Michael Jackson. And, like, you need to be a real actor again. So, I don't know. It's a bummer, dude. The divorces can do that to you. They make you go crazy in some kind of sexual frenzy.
Yeah. Well, like, I mean, also, he's like a rich, attractive man. Like, all those Vice articles, like, enraged me because it's like, how the fuck do you want a rich, attractive man to behave. He should not hang out with ladies in lingerie. Like, that's the whole point, that you become rich and attractive, is to get ladies in lingerie to come over to your fucking house and dance with you and play fucking Street Fighter. Like, that's the whole point.
I mean, that's what I would do, but I would probably, like, not – I wouldn't invite people in. Like, you wouldn't be able to pay to get into that. That's where I would draw the line. I'd be like,
yeah,
you'd have to be a hot babe. Any dudes, strictly banned from the Feld Mansion. That's what I would do.
Feld Mansion. That's a great wait, can we go back for a second? You said play Street Fighter?
Yeah, it was, like, part of that Vice thing was making fun of him because he has a Street Fighter arcade game, like, in one of his rooms. But it's like, that's cool. Like, what world do we live in where that's not cool?
Yeah, that's... I mean, I can't understand why Vice, of all publications, would try to determine, like, if that was uncool. That seems like it'd be totally up their alley. Or is that, like, was that something cool from yesteryear? I don't know. Vice is kind of nonsense anyway.
Yeah, Vice is weird.
I think Vice is just sort of like, you know, whatever they can sort of look down. They go after a lot of easy targets, you know, and I don't think they – I just feel like they're kind of out there to make fun of a lot of stuff. I do think they do some good journalism, so I don't want to, like, completely be – dismissive of them, but they go after a lot of easy targets, and you're like, come on, dude, like, you gotta aim a little higher than the Feldman.
Like there's no middle ground with Vice. It's like they're either taking down like sex trafficking in Cambodia, or they're taking down Dustin Diamond. Like, there's no middle ground.
That's what the guy's saying, is like, they try to set this high standard for their international reporting, but then when it comes to, like, homeland reporting, it's all just what's cool and what's hip and what's not. And fucking Street Fighter 2 is part of our cultural discourse. Like, America doesn't have a lot of culture to it aside from what other people bring into it. And this being one of them, because it's a Capcom product out of Japan, but it's ingrained itself into everybody's subconscious who grew up in the 90s. Like, we all know who Chun-Li is. Yeah. We all know, like, M. Bison was a guy with electricity on his fists. I mean, you at least know one or two things about Street Fighter 2 if you grew up here in the 90s. Not to be like a 90s kids would only know this sort of meme thing, but still, well, it's there.
Yeah,
I just think it's weird to make fun of.
Well, I mean, it's just odd. Like, I don't know. I think they're just like... They just go after any detail they can, you know, and it's like, I think owning an arcade cabinet is pretty fucking rad. And if one of our friends had that, we'd be like, cool. Like, it's just ridiculous, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a weird, target to use in a hit piece, apparently, for me. But strange.
Well, anyway, so I met that monkey.
Yeah.
And it was great. It was the best day. I almost had, like, a panic attack, like, from how much I was in love with the monkey. It was pretty good. On a down note, though, I found out that this week I have to introduce a movie at our local theater, like our, like, old-timey, like, the kind of theater that has, like, an organ, you know?
Wow. Yeah.
And so I have to introduce a movie to the 1,200 people who are going to be there for that.
Wow.
And so if I die, like, if I choose to instead kill myself instead of do that, because it sounds awful to me, I just want you guys to know that I said hello. And, so, like, I feel okay about it now. Like, I've, like, totally, like speaking in front of people is, like, my worst nightmare. So, we'll see how this goes. I don't know. Maybe years of doing podcasts and stuff have alleviated that a little bit, but we'll see. I'm either going to chicken out at the last minute and tell them I can't do it, or I'm going to throw up on stage, or it'll go off swimmingly. So do you want to take any bets, Mr. Frisbee, as a man who knows me?
No, you're really putting me in a harsh position here.
All right, I'm sorry.
I'll
start a poll in Podcast 10.
No, don't start a poll.
You can vote anonymously.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I don't want to start anything.
How about this? I believe that you can do it. I believe that the years of podcasting have emboldened you to it. And what you can do is just go up there with sunglasses, and on the back of the sunglass lenses, the ones that are like directly in front of your eyeballs, you can just put pictures of like your computer monitor and microphone, so you can act like you're podcasting.
Yeah, that would work.
I think it would work.
I was also thinking about introducing the movie as Sherlock Homophobia. I think that would help a little.
Yeah, just say, "Oi, crikey, here's a movie that all of you homos would really enjoy."
Yeah, yeah.
Now, if for some real advice, go up there, bring note cards with you if you think it might help, but focus on delivering like three or five salient points about the movie that you want to introduce. I would not go up there totally blind without anything. Just do some research and focus on like what I want to get across to this audience. Oh. What three or five points I want to deliver.
Dude, wait, you know what really helped me with this? I was super nervous because I had to like go and talk before the world premiere of my movie. Mm-hmm. And I talked to this lady named Tope Larson, who is comic book artist, and she's a buddy of mine. But I was like, oh man, I'm real nervous. What do I do? And she said what she does. I hope I'm not breaking any trust here by revealing this, but she says she'll like write something down and then say it, you know, in the mirror several times, and then she just gets comfortable with it. And I did that, and I felt like I was a seasoned pro. And normally I feel like I would be barfing uncontrollably before public speaking. So I would just recommend writing it down and then repeating it a few times until you feel like it's second nature to you.
That's a good plan. I think I'll do that. I'll make sure I have enough words to say. Either that or like I'll just run out real quick and be like, "Hey, it's the Breakfast Club," and like run off the other side of the stage. It'll be one of the two. So.
Now, is that the movie that you're going to be introducing? Because if it's not, that's going to be really awkward.
Yeah, I'm not sure what movie it is, but I'm going to introduce it as The Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
This is John Hughes. You like it. So you're ready for a memorable soundtrack? Goodbye. I don't know.
Man.
Is the name a Bullet Bill? I'll just go up there and start doing Grandma's virginities bits.
His name was a Bullet Bill. Oh. It was a Koopa. So when is this, Thursday or Friday?
Thursday, yeah.
What is the movie? Or do you honestly not know?
It's Breakfast Club.
Oh, okay, cool. But yeah.
That movie was released 2 days before I was born.
I'll use that in my notes.
Yeah, you can mention that on stage.
Yeah. yeah, all right, well, we've got some stuff. We got some Good, the Bad, and the Uglies. I almost called it Guided by Voices because I have my notes here that say GB and U. In the U,
yeah,
it looks like a
the
V.
U always looks like a V to me when I do these notes. So I'm always like, "Hey, do you want to? Are we doing GBV this week?" And you're like, "No,
it's yeah,
GB."
Well, my good here is Postal Blowfish. The song.
My good is B-1000. So, yeah, this is our Good, the Bad, the Ugly for our running chronological school series. We've been going through every grade level and determining what was good, bad, and ugly for our individual experiences, plus our guest experiences. And this week we are covering grade 9, which is more commonly known as freshman year. So welcome, freshmen, to this installment of Good, the Bad, the Ugly.
Yay, we're in high school.
Yeah, yeah, it's a big change. Woo, man, everybody's gone through puberty, so we're all doing great. Oh, wait, no. Everybody struggles with when they actually do go through puberty. So this is usually hell for a lot of people. Certainly was for me. I just didn't like high school. It was really, really awkward and painful.
Oh, dude, I'm right there with you, buddy.
Yeah, I've yet to like meet anybody, or maybe I just haven't put it out there to actually encounter anybody who had a really great time in high school. So I know it kind of... it's a general concept that we all had a terrible time, but I'm certain that there are folks out there who had like an excellent time in high school, who like peaked within high school and like, yeah, those are the best years of my life.
I would kind of say that, to be honest.
That was you, Parker?
What about yourself?
Yeah. Like, I really...
You're about to introduce a movie on Thursday. You're like, no, my best years were in high school. Hey, you could use that in your introduction because that movie takes place in high school. You're like, you're about to watch a film about the best years of my life. Breakfast Club.
Yeah, I could do that. But yeah, I really liked high school. I don't know. Like, I think the reason I liked high school is that, like, I didn't give a crap about the school aspect of it. Like, I got, like, zeros in every class, and, like, I didn't try, and, like, I was always in detention and stuff, and, like, I was, like, I skipped, like, half the days of school every year, so, like, I think that that's why I liked it. I just, like, would show up to school and, like, buy acid and go home and take a bunch of acid and, like, watch Sifu Manali, so, I think that's why I enjoyed it. If I had, like, actually, like, been doing work and stuff, maybe it would be less fun. But my good, to jump into it, is that I went to my first concert in ninth grade. I went with my friend Tom and with two old dudes who we didn't know. Their names were Dana and, like, Dana's cousin, something or another. And we got introduced to those guys. Like the show, it was a GWAR show in Cleveland, which is, like, 3.5 hours away. And we got introduced to these dudes who also liked GWAR. They were old. By our friend Jono, who then, like, got grounded and he couldn't go to the show. So we were, like, just kind of stuck hanging out with these old dudes that we didn't know and, like, Jono kind of knew. And the road trip up there was very fun. Dana, who was, like, in the passenger seat and me and Tom were in the back seat, like, he got super drunk on Jägermeister, as is tradition, I suppose, if you're going to a GWAR show. And he, like, just showed us all this pornography he had in his car's glove compartment. And showed us pictures of his, like, dead ex-wife. And then he proceeded to get so drunk that he ate the pictures of his dead ex-wife. And then when he was sober on the way home, he was, like, really sad about that because he misses her.
Oh, my God. So weird and dark.
Yeah, it was fun. And, so we got to Cleveland to see GWAR. Who was becoming my favorite band at the time. And it was great. Mushroomhead also played, and they played, like, some weird place, like, right on the lake, and it was, like, an outside place, and it was, like, pretty heavenly. And, yeah, it was, like, probably, like, the best concert ever. And then we drove home, and it was, like, super cold for some reason. Like, the car didn't have heat, and it was, like, in February or something, and we got pulled over. And the cops were like, hey, what kind of drugs are you on? You're shaking back there. And, like, me, you know, it was because we were cold and we were just sprayed with, like, all kinds of weird liquids from GWAR. So that made us extra cold. And they're like, oh, you on meth? You're back there shaking. I put your hands up. And, like, all this craziness, even though we were just, like, super cold. But we made it home A-okay. And it was quite the adventure. And it was wonderful.
This was a great first GWAR show experience. The entire, like, odyssey you went through to get there. That's weird that Jono was able to go. I was actually going to say, like, earlier, I didn't think about Jono a weird amount today, of all days. Like, you know, I know he's out there kind of doing his own thing, so I'll see him pop up on Twitter every so often. But I was thinking about a lot. I have no idea what he's up to right now.
He's just partying.
I just know he's out there traveling somewhere.
Yeah, he's living that, the Jack Kerouac lifestyle, you know, floating from place to place, making art, not seeing GWAR.
So. What?
Not seeing GWAR, being too grounded to see GWAR.
Yeah, yeah. How did he know Dana and Dana's cousin?
I think he, like, lived near them. Like, I think he lived, like, down, like, a few blocks away. So, like, Dana was, like, one of those guys who would, like, buy all the neighborhood children beer because he was like 25 or something, maybe. Oh. So he was, like, that kind of guy.
And he already God. His wife was deceased before he was even 25?
I think she was dead. And they might have just been, like, divorced, but I'm pretty sure that they were divorced and she was dead. But this was a long time ago.
Okay.
So my memory is that they were both divorced and she was dead.
Gotcha.
But yeah, it was fun. How about you, Mr. Frisbee? Can you tell me? You're good.
Go ahead, Frisbee. Make a speech. I've been waiting all day for this.
Well, cool your jets, guy, because here it comes. My good for ninth grade, and there wasn't really a lot that was good, but one shining beacon for it was that we had an earlier release schedule than like previous grades. We had to go to classes earlier, but getting out earlier was no problem. So really, it was like shortly after lunch. It was around like, what, 2:15, 2:30, somewhere around there. And this was especially rad because I think Comedy Central was still showing Kids in the Hall in syndication around then. Because I remember watching like two or three episodes of Kids in the Hall like every day after school. That was excellent. It was pretty rad. As far as something directly related to school goes, now for stuff unrelated to school, nothing really great happened either. So yeah, that was the best part of that entire experience.
That's reasonable. yeah. I like that schedule. I like that high school schedule, you know?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, me too. I'd love to take advantage of that more often or have that like it's part of my life now.
I remember it was like real easy to sneak away from school. I don't know if that was your guys' jam or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There was like not as much enforcement, at least for like those first couple months in my case. When did you go to high school, Jackson?
I was 14, but it was in like 99 to 2000 was when I started.
Okay.
Should I jump in on my good?
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you got for good?
So my good was, this is when I really started getting into horror movies and reading cool books. Like, I, you know, first got into Evil Dead and, you know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Frighteners and Dead Alive and all these other crazy movies. And, you know, I think at that time we were just renting them off VHS because it was, I mean, like DVD was around, but it was still like those janky menus and they were really expensive. And, you know, a DVD player costs like $400 or something. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, that was my good. It was, I just, you know, remember getting super into horror movies and started writing them, which was cool. And I was reading, you know, Bret Easton Ellis and H.P. Lovecraft and Jack London and, you know, like Max Schulman, who did The Many Loves of Dobie Gillis. And, you know, there was like a bunch of cool books I really started getting into. And and Chuck Palahniuk and all that stuff. But yeah, it was sweet. Like that was when I had my first real escape where I didn't feel like I was under, you know, just held hostage by whatever was playing on cable, you know, or whatever my parents did. Cause I could like, I think I had like a part-time job then and I was able to, you know, get a little money to like go buy movies or, you know, rent stuff or whatever. So that was my good.
Nice. Yeah. That's like ninth grade was when I started getting to like stuff heavy, like where I was like looking for things. Like, I think that was like the first time I saw like Dawn of the Dead. Like, I'd already been into like Freddy and Jason movies since I was a kid and like Evil Dead and stuff. But like, that's when I like started looking for stuff that was like much harder to find.
Oh yeah.
And yeah. Well, I think I was like reading dumb stuff when I was in ninth grade. Like, I didn't read Bret Easton Ellis until like much later, and like good stuff like that. Like, I didn't like read like H.G. Wells until later. Like, all the stuff that I was like gonna read, I was like reading like real dumb stuff still in ninth grade. But I forget what.
Like what? Like the Boxcar Children?
No, I don't remember reading that. Like, I don't know. I kind of don't even remember. Like, I read a lot of books about Buddhism, I remember, in ninth grade.
Oh, jeez, dude.
Like, yeah. And, like, what, yeah.
Really?
I think, yeah. Or in high school. Maybe it wasn't ninth grade. Maybe it was, like, later on. But,
oh.
Like, stuff like that. Like, I got, like, I went to the bookstore one time. I think this was, like, 10th or 11th grade, and I stole, like, every Nietzsche book that they had. Like, I was, like, getting into stuff like that.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
my bad is that one time I had this friend who had this girlfriend, and you know, we've all got that friend who, like, once he gets a girlfriend, like, he just kind of pieces out and he becomes like a kind of a butthole, like, mm-hmm. just kind of disappears and, like, just becomes boyfriend guy. And, like, you know, you try to, like, joke with him about your normal kind of jokes when he's, like, near his girlfriend, and he's like, I don't like those kind of jokes, and turns his nose up, like, that kind of guy. We had a friend who was that guy. Me and Jono had this friend, and he had this girlfriend who he, like, totally hated. And we were just, like, always trying to, like, break them. Like, we weren't trying to break them up necessarily, but, like, we just kind of, like, vocally hated her, I suppose. And one time we were, like, walking around, me and Jono were, like, going back to class or, like, doing whatever, and we saw this girl in one of the hallways making out with another dude. And we were, like, we just flipped out. We were, like, oh, my God, you motherfuckers. I can't believe you would be making out with some other dude. This is, we busted you. We got you, you son of a bitch. And, like, she was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And, like, she just kind of walked away, like, super quick. And so we held, like, I think we went, like, even though school, like, class was starting, I think we, like, went to wherever our friend was and, like pulled him out of class or something. Or, like, maybe he was at lunch. Like, maybe that's what it was. Like, our lunch period was over, but his was beginning. And, like, we tracked him down rather than go to class. And we were like, dude, we saw her. She's making out with some dude, you know? And he was like, I don't believe you. She wouldn't do this kind of thing. And then, like, later on after school, like, we found them together, and, like, we were trying to, like, bust her, like, in front of him. We're like, dude, you know, she's making out some dude. We don't know who this dude was. And it was, like, real weird. Like, I mean, it was kind of a big school, I guess. So, we didn't know everybody, but, like, we knew enough people that it was, like, weird that we didn't know who this guy was. And it's like, so we didn't have proof. Like, we can be like, it was James Deweese. We got to go find him. So we were just like, yo, we saw this, you know, your girlfriend making out. And she was just like, no, that didn't happen. And he was just like, no, that didn't happen. So, and, like, to be fair, like, I mean, I guess we did spend, like, a lot of time trying to break them up. So, like, maybe that's why it was, like, sort of a boy who cried wolf situation. So just months and months and months later, she's still cheating on him. Because, like, yeah, like, at some point he's, like, started homeschooling, like, right around this time. So, like, it was really super easy for her to cheat on him. And, like, everybody, it became very common knowledge that this was happening, but there was nothing he could do about it because he wasn't even going to school anymore. He was just hanging out at his apartment, all oblivious. And, it was just really horrifying. It was horrifying. Like, it looked bad on me and Jono. Everybody knew we had a friend who was just a cuckold.
God,
I'm using the literal.
The entire point of you telling this bad was just so you could throw that word out there.
I'm using it in the literal sense, not in the internet sense. The original sense is just that this is happening to you against your will. Just eventually they broke up, and she started going out with this other dude. And I still to this day feel like he doesn't believe that she was cheating on him, but we busted him. Busted her, rather. So, you guys ever have any situations like this? You guys privy to any knowledge that you had to tell your bro, or no?
Oh man, yeah, I've had a few of those. Those are really uncomfortable because you're. I've never had it happen with a close friend, thankfully, but it's happened with acquaintances where I've been like, oh man, like, I'm friends with this guy's wife and he's totally cheating on her. And I just won't, like, I'll be like, maybe I should say something. And then I don't. But then eventually they just find out anyway. So I don't know. Usually it feels like time sort of reveals the truth on these things for the most part. But I think you did the right thing, Parker.
Well, thank you. And yeah, like, it is a hard situation, and, like, usually, like, it's best to, like, stay out of it because, like, eventually things get found out, or, like, if you know, that means somebody else probably knows, and they'll go ahead and tell him, and you can, like, just kind of relax and not have to do it. But with this, we were so happy with ourselves that we had no choice. We were just so pleased. We were, like, little junior detectives who found out who the murderer was, you know?
Very nice. Is it, wait, are you up now or am I up?
I can do mine. My bad was my really poor taste in fashion for ninth grade. It was pretty awful. I wore like vintage Hawaiian shirts until somebody repeated that Simpsons line to me about the people who wear Hawaiian shirts. And I was like, well, I'm giving the wrong impression then, I suppose. And stopped wearing those. I would wear, speaking of another John Hughes film, the Cameron look from Ferris Bueller's Day Off of wearing a belt and suspenders.
Nice.
It's not nice. These are bad fashion choices. Like, I had no reason to be wearing that stuff. I look like a fucking clown. I had a shirt that I actually liked a lot. It was a mock-up of the NBA logo with like the figure silhouette that's done in white. And it's like the red and blue sides to it. But this time it was the skanking man from like ska logos and whatnot. Nice. The dancing man, you know?
Yeah, that's good. That rude boy.
That's the Dirty Rotten Imbeciles logo, I think, right?
I wouldn't know. I'm not sure. Like, if that's a one that's connected to them, then that's probably it. I know it was kind of a widely adopted thing because this shirt didn't mention them at all. It just had SKA at the bottom of it and a small, very small checkerboard pattern around the mock-up logo. That was my favorite shirt for a long time, but I would wear that a lot during ninth grade. And yeah, just real bad. I think Doc Martens were in there. I wore Doc Martens a lot too. Green baggy pants.
Well, I think
it was
all
pretty
that is
silly. No. It was weird that I had friends for how stupid I looked.
No, that all sounds like really cool. I wore a lot of Hawaiian shirts too at the time and suspenders.
You're lying. These are lies. Are you serious? You did this?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I like ska, you know? I mean, that was the fashion for the time. If you liked MXPX, you had to wear suspenders at a certain point.
Yeah.
I had like a bow tie. I only wore that like one time though. I was like, nah, this isn't for me. Like, I think I spent a lot of time trying to look like the dude from Return of the Living Dead who had a crush on Jewel Shepherd.
Oh, that was Tom Matthews, right?
No. He had suspenders, too, though. Like, the guy, he was like kind of...
Oh, yeah.
The new wave guy who wore the suit jacket. Like, that guy was like kind of my style guru. I was like, this fucking dude knows what's up. Like, I got to dress like him. So I had like a lot of suit jackets and stuff like that. Like, I think that's cool, Frisbee. I think you probably looked cool. In fact, I think you're doing yourself a terrible disservice. Let's go to the audience and see what they say.
Come now, Mr. Frisbee. You do yourself a terrible injustice.
Well, man, my bat is like super dark compared to those. So I don't. I'm probably going to like really bring it down here. But basically my bad was I started shoplifting and breaking into people's houses because I had like a really bad drinking problem when I was 14. So I was basically like just ditching school constantly and then like stealing from grocery stores. And I was just completely out of control. I ended up, going to the emergency room, which is pretty crazy. And then there was, I think there was like one of my classes that I went to a total of probably like 14 times throughout the entire semester, which was pretty dedicated. So that was my bad. I was like, I started like just becoming a criminal basically when I was 14. So it was not off to a great start with grade 9. Oh, and I also got super drunk on like the first week of school and then ended up having to go to the emergency room because I was so hammered. I ended up like falling down a flight of stairs after. It was really crazy. So, that was my bad.
that sounds cool too. I don't know, man. You guys sound like you're having pretty good times.
Parker's ever the optimist with this stuff.
Dressing cool, having parties.
I need to like make it clear. Absolutely no one was partying with me. Like most of the time I went and did that, I would like pretty much alienate any of the other people I was around because they were like, wow, you have a lot of problems and we do not want to associate with you.
Yeah, my friend, I had a friend named Doobie who was like super into drinking and he like passed out all the time and like, yeah, he like had alcohol poisoning like all the time from drinking hard. So yeah, I understand.
What happened to him?
He just kept on keeping on, still drinking hard, still partying hard.
Shit, dude. I was hoping there was going to be a happy end there.
Well,
Doobie was the guy, like, he also, I think drinking gave him superhuman strength. Didn't he punch, like, a fridge door and dented it or something?
Oh, yeah. One time we were hanging out at my house and, like, my parents were gone. So, like, my girlfriend came over and he was hanging out with his girlfriend. And, like, they weren't going out for very long. And he was, like, trying to make out with her. And she's like, nah, I don't want to make out. So, like, he left the room and punched my refrigerator and put a dent in it. But, I mean, he took no for an answer. I mean, he was just, like, angry about it. So, like, good for him. It gave him superhuman strength, that drinking. Like, Popeye.
I think that's what they call it, right?
Yeah. But, yeah, what are we up to? My ugly?
Ugly.
Okay, one time I was hanging out with my friend Doobie.
The good, the bad, and the Doobie.
Yeah. And my girlfriend from another town was like in town. Like we went to like see some stupid metal show at like the Knights of Columbus or something. Like I think Jono's band played. I think Jono was in a band called like Subdivision or something at the time. And so we went to go see his band. And like none of us drove at the time. So like we all got dropped off and like we had to walk home to Doobie's house, which was like 5 miles away, and this was like August or something, some hot time. So we had to like walk all super sweaty for like the super long time to get to Doobie's house. And then my girlfriend at the time, like we went into like a different room and started making out. And I made the horrible decision that after walking for like 5 miles in August, that I would go down on this lady. Because I didn't know any better at the time. It was like the first time I did it. And it didn't turn out well. I won't go into the details, but it didn't go well. And then so I left the room after a few moments and I was like, Doobie, I need something to drink. Like, what do you got? And he was like, hey, I got this milk. And that made that made it way worse. Like things got horrifyingly bad after that. And yeah, like I had an aftertaste for a while, many days, I would say. And no good. Don't mix sweat and vaginas and milk and dairy. That's my advice to the youngsters out there. And yeah, let this be a cautionary tale to always have wet wipes with you wherever you go.
Yeah, wherever, for whatever occasion.
Mm-hmm.
And never offer anyone milk, ever. Or never accept milk as your first option. There are always other options. Water. Usually.
Yeah, I feel like I would have declined water. I don't feel like in ninth grade I drank water.
Survivalist thing.
Well, I said somebody... tea, but pee is also.
Oh, I thought you said pee. Fine. I'm sorry. It's like, wow, it's Bob Jackson's really diving in. But yeah.
I'm making it known. I drink pee. Please don't turn that into a drop.
Yeah. Tea drinkers. I would definitely drink tea before I drink straight up milk. Although I did have like goat's milk for the first time this week. And it was all right. I mean, it tasted exactly like milk, except... it wasn't like painful as dairy, like cow milk usually is for me.
Yeah.
That's neither here nor there. It just happened. I did that this week. So pretty exciting. Not really.
Do you guys have any weird ninth grade sex stories?
No, not I.
No. I could not. I could not get anywhere in ninth grade. I think like if a girl thought I was cute, I was just like, I just weirded her the fuck out immediately, and quickly alienated any lady that might be interested. So no, I was nowhere near that.
Well, you got off good then. It's more than it's not what it's cracked up to be when you're a young man figuring things out. Mr. Frisbee, what is your ugly?
Oh, my ugly was mandatory foreign language credits, and in that I had to take I chose to take Latin. It was really bad, probably a really bad decision, because one, nobody speaks Latin anymore unless you're like listening to Vatican Radio, and two, the class was really, really strict. Or not strict. It was just really difficult. And the teacher would get really upset quickly with everybody there. Like, I don't recall having a lot of teachers who would just get really pissed off and go on rants, but this teacher did. And it was kind of glorious because she was always extremely eloquent when she was ranting at the class, like about how much she didn't like us at all. But it was also just terrifying because it was super effective. But it was, there's something very cinematic about it in how she would actually create this tension in the classroom. It felt like, any sort of movie scene that was like not funny at all, where people would like the kids would be getting scared in their seats and like stuttering over translations or words. And she would slap at the desk and everybody would jump. It was like that. So I was like, man, this is straight up out of a movie, but also this is real life and I'm terrified. So that was my ugly.
Yeah.
Ninth grade.
I had a girlfriend who took Latin in like college, like a little later. And she said it was like the hardest thing that's ever happened. So I can only imagine taking Latin in ninth grade. That must have been hellish.
Yeah. Yeah. The teacher like turned out to be cool later when I wasn't in that class, but in the class, there's just something about trying to teach a dead language, like an ancient tongue, that really riles up the blood. I think that's like a universal Latin teacher trait. And she was also from Pittsburgh. So being like this kid from Dayton who hadn't really experienced like a tougher, larger city, unless it's Cincinnati, but I mean, I don't think Cincinnati's like Pittsburgh. It was also eye-opening. It was really cool. Weird. Not cool. It was weird and uncomfortable.
Yeah. I can imagine. I hate teachers. I think they're all uncomfortable. I think they should all go away.
Word.
What's your ugly, Jackson?
Oh, man. So my ugly was I got kicked out of school and then... Well, not entirely. So it was basically like things just kept progressing and I got really out of control. And then my parents, I got suspended from school for basically just like being drunk on campus. And I got caught with booze a bunch of times. Well, got caught being drunk. And then eventually I got caught with booze and they were, the principal came and like pulled me out of class and he was like, oh, I'm going to need to see your backpack. And I was like, uh-oh. Oh man, I have like a huge bottle of vodka in there. I hope he doesn't find it. So he took the bag and then immediately got it. And I got suspended from school. And then my parents sort of had enough of it and then yanked me out and then put me in this like really bad kids school. It was filled with like, you know, a bunch of gangbangers basically. And it was really fucking scary. So... I did that for the next half of the year, and I was so uncomfortable, and I hated it so much. It was like, it sort of felt like being in prison. It was real, real freaky. But, Yeah, honestly, I don't think it got much worse than that. It was just basically like a lot of troublemaking and then some pretty severe consequences for that. And then I think around then I got put in rehab, which was crazy. And, you know, there was lots of bad stuff in ninth grade.
Yeah, that sounds pretty intense.
Yeah, being sent to like a delinquent school. That's the weird, loosest term for that. That seems really harsh and excessive, considering
it definitely was. I will say it terrified the shit out of me though, and I actually did stop drinking not long after that, but So, I mean, it, like, sort of worked, I guess. It was just – I mean, there was, like, a few other factors in that. Like, I started going to, like, counseling and some other things. But it was nuts. Like, one of the kids in our school, at, like, the bad kids' school, like, got shot and killed in a drive-by. Like, it was fucking insane. Like, it was just, like, we went to school one day and then came back the next day and they were, like – they were like, oh, Anthony, like, got killed in a drive-by yesterday when he was, like, going back home. I was like, what the fuck, dude? I was like, this is insane. I was like a dork who read comic books and, you know, like, liked horror movies and, you know, hadn't committed any severe crimes at that point. But, you know, it was pretty nuts. I think I just sort of drove my parents insane. So, I don't know. But it all worked out. I stopped drinking and then, you know, ended up kind of writing a bunch of stuff. And then, yeah, I hope this isn't super dark for the normal pool party radio stuff. I'm just keeping it real, dude.
Keeping it real is what we do.
Yeah.
That's what
keeping it real is what we're all about.
Yeah.
Really real.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's welcome.
Yeah, that sounds horrifying. I feel like I would have just cracked under the pressure, like being a similar young man who was like into like reading comic books and just watching horror movies and stuff. Like if I was sent to like a bad kid's school, I would have been so bummed out, which like probably like could have happened. Like I didn't drink in high school or anything, but like I did skip school like every other day. And like I feel like my parents were like real super sick of me.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I feel like I was, like, maybe if my parents made, like, $10,000 more a year, like, I feel like I probably would have been shipped off somewhere. But luckily, that didn't happen.
The thing was, it was, like, it was a charter school. So, I mean, it, like, wasn't a military school. It was, like, basically for, like, it's almost like you have to be, like, impoverished there. But it was just every kid in there. I mean, they're, like, some of them were cool and, like, there were some nice, you know, kids in there that are just kind of like maladjusted or like had Asperger's or whatever. But, I mean, there were like a few that just like got in trouble and, you know, ended up there and they were fine. But it was just like, it was a big sort of, culture shock on my young mind. And I think it, prepared me for quite a lot in the future. Cause I was like, well, I'm never gonna like, I mean, like, honestly, in some ways it felt like I was, it was almost like being in like juvenile or what the fuck is that called? Like juvenile hall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was one of those things where it was really weird, but, I only had to be in there for like 6 months and then I got to go back to my old school after that. And then, you know, everything shaked out pretty normally, but it was just like, it was part of the reason I wanted to do this year was just because it was such an intense year of my life that I remember very vividly. And that was, I felt like I could spice it up, if you will.
I like your spice.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. So did that school like scare you straight? Do you like, were you like a good kid from then on? Do you drink now?
No, I don't. I mean, honestly, I think it did because I haven't had like a drink or done any drugs since I was like 15, I think. Yeah, 15. So, I mean, it's been a really, really long time at this point. I mean, it's sort of like a non thing now just because it's like, it was so long ago. It was almost just like a different lifetime. But yeah, I mean, I've stayed pretty much on the straight and narrow since then. So it kind of worked.
Well, that's good then. All's well that ends well.
Oh yeah.
And that's the end of our Good, the Bad, the Ugly for ninth grade.
Oh, that's a good segue.
Yeah, I had to fit that in there.
Speaking of fitting things in, let's go to Wayne with the Podcast Town news.
Wayne here. Podcast Town news for Pool Party Radio. So, Corey of Balecon is still power hungry, trying to get control of the town and the group. Him and his pit bull, Shelby Winters, Cobra over there, trying their best. Some news that's been going on around town. It seems like one, Mike Dick is very good at asking questions. He gets some really good responses. He asked a question about people's embarrassing moments of seeing bands live that kind of squandered and fucked it up. Pretty good thread if you go through it. And then he's kind of lazy enough to can't figure out what he wants to program for Fish Church this year. So he put it out to everybody to give him some ideas. Lazy fuck. What else? Sarah Murphy was asking about vanity plates. While we were driving into Atlantic City today, I saw one where the guy had it. Just he was driving around in a ragtop car with his vanity plate as ragtop. What a dickbag. To be honest, like I keep saying every week, Podcast Town is only about three things. It's about shitty Alan Jackson memes to the point where who the hell made that t-shirt? I mean, if it was anybody else but Alan Jackson with like laser beams coming out of his eyes, I think I would have bought that shirt. But no, it isn't. It's just a terrible, terrible meme that a bunch of really ugly white guys are wearing, which totally sucks. Podcasters are just inundated and posting the shit thinking it's a podcast forum. Let's promote our podcasts. 90% of them suck. One guy's posting his podcasts on fucking YouTube. You can't even download it off YouTube. You can't even, like, who the fuck puts a audio format on a video on a video format? Dumb fucks. Stupid motherfucker. And I tried to tell him that. He got a little uppity, but I think I'm in the right direction, I think. Some other people just put boring podcasts on there. They say they're podcasts, but they're videos. Like, dude, that ain't a podcast. If I'm watching the video, I really can't listen to the whole thing. Stupid fucks. Fucking stupid. A lot of stupid bullshit. Like, I don't want to know about your rinky-dink comic book podcast. I don't want to know about your video game podcast. Go fuck yourselves. Go kill yourselves. Parker thinks this is funny. He keeps me doing it every week, and I get the bit. I understand it. It's great. I really had no time to do it this time. Like, I really need to sit down and record these things, not on my phone, like some weird hillbilly. But I need to start really doing this stuff proper. Kind of like what Scott from King of the Internet does with the Border Boss, you know, overproduce it. Make some really crazy fucking sound effects, you know, some really crazy intros and outros. Really do it up. And actually have a smart, innate, interesting thing to say instead of this babbling mess that the piece begins to be every time. What else is going on in town? Nothing. Like I said, keep your eye on Corey. Even though he's posting cute things and silly little shit, including Bush's Big Bean ads. I don't know the fuck that's up. Like, what weird Illuminati bullshit that is. But you gotta keep your eye on that fucker. He's gonna ruin this place. You know, he's gonna look like Conan at the end of the Barbarian movie. You know, standing there all bored with a sword and his big old beard. Because he's conquered all of us. And he's grown weary. It's gonna look like... it's just gonna be terrible. So keep your eye on that motherfucker. Alright. That's the end of it, I guess. Kill yourself.
Well, that was Wayne's Podcast Town news. It was great. And Wayne's correct. I do like it. And he's also correct.
Thanks,
about
Wayne.
Else. So now we got some emails. We got a couple of emails, right, Mr. Frisman?
Yes, we do. I'm bringing them up now. If you would like to email us, you can reach us at poolpartyradio@gmail.com. Our first one here is from excuse me, Don Trumpet. I can read the full name on this one because I think it's a parody account.
That's real.
That's and real. The title of it is Making Podcasting Great Again. And it says, Parker, I just want to tell you that you are fantastic. Your show is really, really great. It's so good. Believe me, I know good podcasts. The breakdown of one of the all-time great American shows, Saved by the Bell, was just terrific. That Zach Morris reminds me a lot of me as a teen. Obviously, I was much more richer than he was, but our attitudes were the same. I'm sure I pulled more tail than him, but that's another email where I'll tell you of the feud I created with that totally real character, Zach. We had a tally going on who pulled more poon, and he never stood a chance. I'm concerned with your little co-host, Jason, though. I heard he visited Canada recently. Doesn't he know that's un-American? I'm going to build a wall up there the next time he goes up there so he can't come back, the little traitor that he is. Doesn't he know Canada is just the northern Mexico? Also, let Mike Dick know he's out of here when I become emperor or president or whatever they have in Washington. He didn't do anything wrong except lack energy in his voice. Maybe give him some lessons, Parker. You are a true American. Keep up the fantastic work. Your old pal, Donald, quotes, totally for real, end quotes, J. Trump. My favorite part about that is it includes, in that sign-off, is it includes his middle initial after the nickname. It's really good. He didn't. He yeah. did not just forego the middle initial.
I also appreciate that. And I appreciate this entire email. I think he raises some good points about you perhaps testing the waters on defecting to Canada.
Yeah.
Which I feel.
And let me tell you, the waters make some pretty delicious Molson. It was great.
I feel it's
great stuff.
Very disrespectful to even go to Canada when you're an American.
Yeah. Yeah. I never mentioned how much I liked Kids in the Hall when I was up there. And I feel like if I had, I probably would have been nominated for citizenship because having expressed my interest in like the Tragically Hip and whatnot was quite a positive for a guy who had first announced himself as American. But yeah, I mean, if it's any consolation, like most of the time I would just say, yeah, I'm from America and people would be very distrustful of me.
Well, that's ignorant. That's disrespectful. I think that they should trust you more. Because
I'm a man without a country is what I'm saying. Like if this guy Trumpet wants me out and Canada doesn't want me in, then what's left, Parker? Where do I go?
You can live in podcast town with all your favorite kooky characters.
Nope. Actually, I did get a Chattahoochee shirt.
Oh, yeah?
It came in the mail this past week. That was huge for me. It was great.
It was huge.
Huge.
It's going to be huge.
Yeah, it's a wonderful shirt. I will proudly wear that. I did not get a Podcast Town shirt, unfortunately, but I know someone who did. And
nice.
He does not know where to wear it. He's like, this makes no sense anywhere. I just really wanted a shirt. So...
It's understandable. Yeah, I wish I would have got one of those Chattahoochee shirts, but I missed out. I was being a cheapo.
But, well,
I mean, as long as I believe it in my heart, you know?
Yeah, I think that's the main thing. As long as you understand what's really going on out there, then, you know, you really don't need the shirt. It's more like a conversation starter for anybody who wants to open their third eye.
That's true. Jackson, you're wide awake to Alan Jackson and the Chattahoochee. Is that true?
Absolutely. Where we go, Mr. Jackson and I go all the way back to my middle school PE class where our teacher would jam that, Garth Brooks, all sorts of mid-90s country music.
Nice. That's how you became so woke in life. I can tell.
Absolutely.
What is the other email that we have, Mr. Frisbee?
Our other email? Well, both of them are from Matt. Did you want to hear about the dog one or his other one? This is non-dog one.
Let's get them both. They probably go to whichever one came first.
Oh, they're both very short, so we can do them both. First one is, yo, boys, and then says, PPR. Guess what, guys? A random dog wandered into my yard and is trying to just hang out like she owns the place. And then there are pictures of the dog. It's a gray pit bull. She's playing with a bit of hose, just kind of laying about. She's laying in a lawn chair, and she's also, again, laying in a lawn chair. She definitely looks like she owns the place.
Yeah, this is a very cute dog. Matt goes on to say that he feels like maybe it's a ghost dog, which could be true. Ghost dogs do exist. I like this dog. I like that it's like kind of a squatter, you know? It's like kind of a punk rock dog, just kind of squatting. It doesn't care about your property rights. I think that's an interesting take for a dog to have, not to care about property rights. So yeah, I like this dog. 4.5 Jonah Rays out of 5, I feel, for this dog.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right. When you say that it's a ghost dog,
mm-hmm.
I didn't see that in that email. Are you talking about the follow-up one? The follow-up email?
No, it's in that first email. He says that he thinks that the dog, it's like right above the pictures. There's like a, he says that he feels like it's a ghost dog and that he hates Jonah Ray.
That's missing from mine. Oh, well.
That's weird, as fuck. Maybe that's a ghost email.
Yeah, you got ghost written in that email.
Holy shit. Jackson, I think your next movie has to be about a ghost email.
You know, I was actually thinking earlier today that I really need to put a dream sequence in my next movie and use Word Up magazine in it.
I think that would be genius.
Right. I was like, I got to come up with a real subtle JFD reference. And I was like, I think I figured it out.
That would be wonderful. Just a copy of Word Up magazine in the background. So the people who listen to JFD will know that that's a dream sequence.
You know what? The thing, absolutely. But the thing that would be really cool is to have you seen the first Superman movie?
Yeah.
So, like, you know, they do this thing in it where they obviously had this, like, product placement with Cheerios, and they didn't, like, know how to do product placement then. So they have, like, the Cheerios box, and, like, every time the camera angle changes, they, like, turn the box directly to the camera from, like, whatever angle it's at. So it keeps, like, shifting around. And then, like, when it's, like, a dawn scene, so she, like, opens the curtains, and they, like, keep going, you know, back and forth. And every time it's just like Cheerios right next to her. It's pretty intense.
Yeah, you should do that with the Word Up magazine. Like wherever the camera goes, just the Word Up, the front of the Word Up magazine cover just follows.
I honestly am probably going to do that. So when we get around to recording the commentary for whatever movie number 2 will be, you will have to point that out.
I'll do it. I'm good at pointing out all the movie's secrets, as you'll as you'll find out when
indeed
when you buy the Beyond the Gates Blu-ray. You'll know that I point out a very important thing in one of the scenes.
That's true.
I don't want to spoil it.
Man, I'm excited for that. I can't believe that's a commentary track.
It's gonna be wild.
I was pretty thrilled with it. I think it's my favorite of. We recorded 3 so far, and I think it's my favorite out of all of them.
Well, thanks.
Nice.
It certainly probably has the most references to cops murdering innocent people. I felt the need that I felt like doing an audio commentary for a horror movie was my time to get political.
That was fucking hilarious, by the way. When I heard that, I was cracking up.
Well, thanks. What is the last email? Mr. Frizz.
Okay, the last email, this is why the ghost dog reference is so strange to me, because it's again from Matt. Dog update 2, PPR. Just a quick update on that pit bull. I hope this doesn't upset anyone, but I just decided to shoot her. I figured it would be easier for everyone. And then new paragraph. I'm loving, quotes, hard for Godard, end quotes. Keep it up, Matt.
Yeah, I'm set. Well, it is easier to shoot that dog. I'm glad that you did it. I'm also. Oh, yeah. What were you saying?
I was just going to say, yeah, I mean, no, I disagree.
Well, yeah, it makes things easier to have killed that dog rather than put up with it. Hard for Good Hard is our new segment. Maybe we'll do something with it next week. Maybe we should like watch a trailer for a Godard movie and review it, because I don't want to watch an entire Godard movie. For the show specifically, I mean, in general. Yeah. But yeah, so like maybe we'll do that. But next week's might be a big show. I think we might be doing some stuff. So we'll see. But Hard for Godard will come back. It's going to be our number one segment of the fourth quarter of 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Also returning next week will be the Pumpkin Spice Channel. So look out for that. We're going to find out what's right. Pumpkin innie and what's not. So yeah, I guess that's about the end of the program.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's very sudden, but it's here. And we want to thank our very special guest, Jackson. Thank you again for joining us down this trip down memory lane for high school.
Thank you for having me on. I had a great time, and it was cool to chop it up with you dudes.
Yeah. Excellent. Thanks for reliving all of these horrible memories with us.
You're welcome. I was. It was time to pay a visit down memory lane. So yes.
Where can the kids find you in the movie at on the internet, Jackson?
They can find me on Twitter with the handle @BossJacko, JACKO, one word. And the movie is @BeyondTheGates, one word, _. So @BeyondTheGates_. And that one is run by Steve Scarlatta, my co-writer. It's really cool. He finds a bunch of crazy VCR ads and a bunch of old sort of 80s artifacts that he posts in addition to, you know, our promotional stuff. But we mix it up nicely, so if you're not into the movie, you'd still probably have a good time there. But yeah, those are the two spots to find me.
Nice. Mr. Frisbee, where can the kids find you in between episodes of Pool Party Radio?
I'm on Twitter @CumulusFrisbee. Sometimes in podcast town, but mostly on Twitter, more often on Twitter, I think. What about you?
What about you though? Where can the kids find you? Like if they want to hear you talk about swords and Japanese people?
That is, the Blind Podsman podcast I do with Patrick, of Banshee Jam fame. On basically the same schedule that we run on for PPR, we do Satuichi, the Blind Podsman, where we're discussing all of the Satuichi films. It was one of the longest running character franchise series in film history. So join us for that. We'll be discussing Satuichi and the Chest of Gold next, which is shaping up to be my favorite Satuichi film thus far.
That sounds like the name of a James Bond movie.
And it's probably not by accident, because James Bond started to become a thing like as Zatoichi was already a few films in. So you see a lot of like the traits kind of being borrowed, just because like, hey, here's another long running character that you might know. But Zatoichi had way more films coming out within a year at this time than James Bond. I think in this particular year, there was about 5 films of Zatoichi being released.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, they really churn them out.
Zatoichi.
To kind of whet the appetite, this is the first appearance of colorized blood in a Zatoichi film.
All right.
And you get an eyeful of it.
You're speaking my language.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, ready to invite folks on. Now it's getting to be like not so grandpa-y in the filmmaking. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you guys for sure. If you are interested, you are welcome.
Sweet. I want to talk about those Satuichis. I'm still waiting for that Sean Byron to be on.
Yeah, I think we discussed what may have been his favorite Satuichi film already. So hopefully he has like a backup or something that he's into.
I didn't know that there were Hungarian Zatoichi movies. That's cool.
There might be, sure. but you can find us on iTunes or your podcast player of choice. And all our contact info there. Also on Facebook.
So check out those Blind Podsmen. Check me out on Twitter at Final Parker. And, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/poolpartyradio. I think that would be very nice of you. Leave some iTunes reviews if you want. That's also cool. So until next time, this is Parker for Jackson and Cumulus Frisbee, and also Wayne with his journalistic integrity saying thanks for having fun.